Hey everyone, this is Chris Ryan from The Ringer. As many of you have heard by now, we lost a treasured colleague and friend over the weekend. Jonathan Charks passed away on Saturday. John was 34. He leaves behind a wife and a son, and we are obviously mourning his loss and sending all of our love to his family right now. If you go to theringer.com/Jonathan Charks, that's JonathanTjarks, you will find a memorial page for John, which has links to his GoFundMe that benefits his family and the amazing writing he did throughout his experience. I encourage you to go there. And if you can, please support the Charks family. Briefly, I will just say that John was among the first people that we hired to work for The Ringer. So he was instrumental in defining the voice and perspective of the site. He has as much to do with what this place is as anyone else. And throughout his experience with cancer, John communicated eloquently about the challenges he was facing, both through his writing and his podcasting. You could never stop John from talking about his passions. It's one of the things I loved about him. Over the last few months, you know, whenever we would talk, whenever I would reach out to see how he was doing, I would try to keep it very John-focused. And the next thing I knew, we would be talking about James Harden or Better Call Saul. He really loved this stuff. He loved talking about it, celebrating it, debating it, illuminating it. We're going to keep putting out our pods and writing while we grieve, but we wanted to let folks know that John was in our hearts and that his family was in our thoughts. Thanks for listening.
It's The Ringer's Philly Special presented by FanDuel. April showers bring a loaded sports calendar, and FanDuel is the place to bet on it all. Right now, you can check out the new and improved Parlay Hub. Filter by odds, sport, and bet type to easily find the most popular parlays and same-game parlays all on one page. Plus, start betting on the Explore page and the Pulse and get paid instantly when you win. So download the app today and bet with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. The Ringer is committed to responsible gaming. Please visit rg-help.com to learn more about the resources and helplines available and listen to the end of the episode for additional details. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit rg-help.com.
This episode is brought to you by Lincoln in the all-new 2024 Nautilus Hybrid. Featuring a customizable 48-inch panoramic display, available Revel audio system, and available perfect position front seats with active motion massage. Oh my God, the world isn't wide enough. Visit Lincoln.com to learn more. Some models, trims, and features may not be available or may be subject to change. Check with your local retailer for current information. Lincoln and Nautilus are trademarks of Ford or its affiliates.
Welcome to the Ringer's Philly Special. Sheil Kapadia joined by Ben Solek. And you know what I could tell you? It was only one game. It's only week two. Don't get carried away. It's a long season. There are injuries. There will be ups. There will be downs. But that's not the purpose of podcasting. The purpose of this is to give you a feeling, a snapshot in time. And that was the type of performance from the Eagles in their win over the Vikings that at least makes me reimagine what Jalen Hurts could be, what this Eagles team could be, what this season could be, what the future could be. That's just me being honest. Ben Solak, how we doing?
We said it. We said it preseason. We walked through the weeks of the season. I said, you stop me at the game that you need to see Jonathan Gannon perform at to believe that the Eagles have a shot. And we got to week two to the Minnesota Vikings before the Justin Jefferson week one game against the Packers. And you said, I want to see them stop the Vikings offense in week two. 7 points, 3 red zone interceptions. This is a pretty good day in the office, brother.
I don't even know where to begin. The defense, Jalen Hurts, you're right. Yeah, I remember I did say that. That was one of our first podcasts, and they did it. They shut them down. This was a performance I did not see coming from their defense. You did not see coming from their defense. We're going to get to all of it. I have to be honest, though. I have to start with Jalen Hurts because that was a game that I did not think Jalen Hurts had in him. I thought he looked different. I thought his arm looked stronger than ever. I thought he was more decisive than ever. I thought he was more accurate than he's ever been. I thought he had complete command. I mean, 26 for 31, that's what, 83% completions. Throws for 333 yards, averages 10.7 yards per attempt, runs 11 times for 57 yards and 2 touchdowns. I haven't crunched all the numbers and compared all of his starts in his career. That felt to me, eye test, the best we've ever seen of Jalen Hurts. That's what it felt like to you as well?
Absolutely, yeah. And this, like, you know, Troy had a lot of complaints about the style of defense that the Vikings are running. And the Vikings certainly should have gotten out of what they were in after halftime. And they did change stuff a little bit. The Eagles scored no points coming out of the locker room. But they were in it for, you know, like they're in their quarter stuff and their base stuff a little bit longer than they probably should have. But this is a sort of defense that could have and often did give Jalen Hurts troubles last year, where because the Eagles passing game lacked levels, right? Because it was like either a go ball or underneath stuff, they really couldn't take advantage of trying to stretch out these levels, right? Trying to put vertical strain on this defense and find gaps in some of these zones. Jalen Hurts throwing middle of the field. Jalen Hurts throwing late and fast over the middle of the field to Dallas Goedert, a tight window. Jalen Hurts landing on his back foot and driving a ball to A.J. Brown middle of the field on time and rhythm. We didn't see some of that. That was
ripping
new.
Throws, that was, ripping throws. Yeah. I mean, unbelievable.
Absolutely. Little sizzlers. Yeah. There was, were there throws where he like hit the top of his drop, looked middle of the field, patted the ball, didn't take it, and then immediately busted out of the pocket? Yes. But like, as we've said before, like, that's part of how he plays. Like that's part and parcel with how good of a runner as he is. You're just going to have to live with that. It's the fact that he's trying to push himself to make some of those throws that I think is super encouraging and also really empowering for the season if he's able to figure that out, if he's able to actually improve upon those, make those more consistent, make that a bigger part of the offense over the course of the next few weeks. Derek Klassen of Football Outsiders summarized it very well. He said during the game, Jalen Hurts has gotten a little bit better for the 7th year in a row. And that's just what it is with Hurts, is that every single offseason since Oklahoma, since the freshman year at Alabama where he couldn't throw the football, he got benched for Tua Tagovailoa because he couldn't pass it. Since this guy's entered the national visibility as a quarterback, every offseason he comes back a little bit better. And by like offseason 5, 6, and now this offseason 7, you're kind of like, okay, but he's going to hit a ceiling. Like he can't. We don't see players just consistently improve year over year. That doesn't really happen. It looks like Jalen Hurts is better. It looks like he's better in his 3rd season with the Eagles and is it the 7th season now in college and professional ball. It looks like he once again has taken a step if we were going off of this game. That's just thrilling. He's so fun to root for. He's got such a fun play style. You just feel like he's limited. You feel like he can't be the guy of the future. If he can continue to improve, holy smokes. I mean, he's one of the most dangerous quarterbacks in the league if he continues on this arc.
That was always the feeling, was that you don't know what Jalen Hurts' ceiling is, but you have a pretty good sense that he's going to reach that ceiling because of what he puts into it. Like, you don't know what's he going to cap out at. What's the best version of Hurts look like? And to be honest, I've had doubts. I mean, we've had the conversations. I said, you know what? I think the most likely scenario is he is not going to be the quarterback for week one of 2023. But again, I didn't know this version to me looks so different than anything we have seen previously. I mean, the first possession, he gets out on the move and rips one to Dallas Goedert. What if we talked about, well, you know, Hurts, when he takes off, he usually is going to look to run and he's not going to look to throw. He made a great throw. The bomb to your boy, Quez Watkins, 53-yard touchdown. No one within 2 miles of Quez Watkins.
Busted coverage, baby. We talked all about the Packers busting coverages when they were facing Justin Jefferson. We forgot about busting versus Quez Watkins, the other side of the coin.
It didn't have to be a perfect throw. Obviously, there was no one near him, but that was a heck of a throw. I mean, if he would have been in a man coverage with someone on his hip, I think that still would have been a touchdown.
The throw to Quez that got called back because of the penalty, man. The one that he was rolling out to his left.
Oh, my gosh. Best throw of the night, right?
I was up out of my seat. That was a ball.
He felt it, too, because when he saw that there was a flag and it was coming back, he kind of put his hands together like, come on, I had one. That looked very reminiscent of like a Trevor Lawrence throw from Sunday where he's rolling out to his left and just rips one to the sideline. So, again, these are throws I did not know he was capable of making. Maybe you see him once in a while, but to see them consistently throughout the course of a game, spreading the ball around. I mean, I'm looking at the box score here. Goddard had 5 for 82. Devontae Smith, 7 for 80. Quez Watkins, 2 for 69. Yep. A.J. Brown, 5 for 69. I mean, spreading the ball around.
I tried to figure out how to make Stathead tell me, like, when was the last Eagles game in which four receivers had 60 plus yards, but I don't know how to make the stats do that. That's for somebody who understands it. But it feels like that level of spread out, that level of distributed production, obviously feels like a little bit of an aberration. Awesome. Awesome to see how quickly and easily and effortlessly they were like, yeah, Devontae Smith game. Yeah, we had no problem with that, right? Like, it was still like a good AJ Brown game, had a couple explosives, like, yeah, had some schemed up targets, had the wide receiver screen, he had the in breaking route, whatever. But it was cool how they were like, oh, zone, Devontae. Like, yeah, he had no catches last week. We're not hassled by that. We know how to get everybody involved in this offense. It was also really cool that they kept on going back to that Dallas Goedert tight end flat RPO. We talked about this a little bit last week. Big explosive play against Detroit. Oh, it's so easy. It's such a layup. It's a good example, a microcosm of how easy Jalen Hurts makes the offense. Just do a little run of RPO. They're worried about the quarterback run. You get a little bit of free space to the boundary. Nice, easy completion. And they lost that this game because, I don't know, Cleet Blakeman. In my head, every ref is Cleet Blakeman. Whatever the head umpire was just so dialed in on illegal man downfield penalties that they basically just couldn't access their RPO game in terms of the timing they like to run it at. To lose that and then to still feel like they were getting easy stuff underneath is really, really cool. Like, there was this passing game felt so much more fluid. It felt so much more adjusted to the day, to the opponent, than it ever did last season.
I swear I had in my notes when we were doing the film breakdown last week that, you know, a couple of these RPOs where Hurts is holding the ball, they've got linemen way downfield. I think that's something to keep an eye on. I would have looked so smart. I never got to it. It's not that interesting. It's not that fun to talk about on a podcast. But yes, I think somebody, whether it was Kevin O'Connell or somebody else, certainly got to the officials there. So I honestly don't know what else to say about Hurts. I mean, listen, if he plays like this, they're absolutely Super Bowl contenders. It's week two, fine. Right. You want to say it's crazy, it's week two, settle down. No, I mean, that type of performance shows you that this team has a ceiling that we thought maybe we'll see the ceiling this year. Maybe we won't see the ceiling this year. Well, it's week two, and they had and they kind of delivered it to you. I mean, the first half, 347 yards of offense, the most in a game in a half for a team this season, the most by an Eagles team in the first half since 2010. 2010. Ben, were you born in 2010?
Almost.
Okay.
Just barely. All right. Just made the cutoff. Yeah. There's two things I'll say for Hurts off of this game that I'm interested to see. Number one is what happened in the second half. The Eagles scored no points in the second half. There is no lead that you take into halftime that you go, okay, well, if we score no points in the second half, we're probably okay, right? So that's never part of the plan. So I'm curious to see kind of where some of that tailed off. Obviously, like, they had the opportunity to score three, and a kick gets blocked. So, like, you know, it could be like a three-point second half, and that just feels a little better. Curious to see what things look like there, number one. They're obviously sitting on the ball for a good amount of the fourth quarter, too. But you're just going to see what were the adjustments, how did Hurts kind of feel about those. And then number two, I'm really curious to see on some of the scrambles, on some of the like very early checkdowns to Miles Sanders and to Dallas Goedert in the flat, what did the downfield routes look like? Because Hurts will have open guys and not take them. Like, he threw intermediate middle more in this game than we were accustomed to seeing. There's a chance he had even more opportunities that he didn't take. I want to see, A, just because I want to see if they're there, right? Like, I want to see what the decision process was like and if there's still meat on the bone. Not to like criticize Hurts, but to say, okay, how much can he get away with not doing and the offense still works? What's the margin for error here? Because if it's like Hurts ran a totally perfect game as a passer, every time he had a downfield shot, he took it. Every time he had an open intermediate window, he took it. And then when it was underneath, he went there. Great, Hurts just played a perfect game, but you don't trust the guy to play a perfect game week after week. And that's every quarterback in the league. That's not Hurts, that's all quarterbacks. If it was an imperfect game and it still looked like this, that's actually better news. It's encouraging news. There's obviously stuff to work on. It's week two, but also you just know there's that margin for error, right? And the margin for error always just comes as a wash in the running game. Like that, the second touchdown was just...
Oh my God. How did I not even mention that yet? Yeah, that might have... Unbelievable. What a run. Incredible.
It is so cool to watch how much the Eagles skill position players and offensive line love Jalen Hurts, like, finishing runs and breaking tackles, right? Like, the first touchdown, Devontae Smith starts, like, angry stomping. Dallas Goedert is, like a full squat flexing, right? Because it was, like, a tough physical run. Hurts pushes his way into the end zone. And then it's Goddard and Smith again next to him on the second touchdown. And he fights his way through, and they're just freaking out. Like, it it is so clear how much fun they find it when Hurts like puts his shoulder into the chest of a corner and takes him 3 yards. Like that's just his. It's him and Josh Allen. Like those are the only QB runners in the league who do that. Like Lamar doesn't break tackles like that. Lamar like avoids tackles. He breaks angles. This like physical running style, which like, please don't get hurt, never get hurt. Like when he was out there on like the 4 minute drive, I was like, hey, Gardner, we got to get Gardner in the building. But that physical running style is just, it matches the Eagles' identity. The Eagles' skill position players clearly appreciate it so much. It fires Hurts up. It's the way he wants to play. It's very much an identity thing and it matters. It resonates. It's really sick.
It's a very rare skill for a quarterback. Like you mentioned him, Josh Allen. Yeah. I mean, I'm going back to my college days and Michael Robinson at Penn State gets everybody fired up by just lowering his shoulder and knocking somebody down. So yeah, that 26 yard touchdown run. I mean, I was thinking back to that run he had against the Saints when you're just trying to think, all right, what are some of the highlight level runs he's had? And I think that one was definitely up there where Dallas Goedert's out there, man coverage. He realized Hurts is running. He starts blocking. You know, in your head, you're going, all right, nice run. All right, really nice run. Wait, does he have a chance to score? Oh my gosh, I think he's going to score. And then all of a sudden you look and the ref is holding their arms in the air and it's a 26-yard touchdown. So yeah, he's got it all. I'm also interested to see. The second half, I'll just say watching live, it didn't feel like the Vikings were doing a lot to slow them down. Like you mentioned, there's a blocked field goal in there where they had an 11-play drive, picked up 3 first downs. There was a Jordan Mailata holding, which kind of set them back a little bit. That's the one you were talking about earlier where he had the incredible throw to Quez Watkins. Might have been his best throw of the night. And then it's the Gainwell screen that, goes. I saw some people saying that was on Hurts. I mean, I thought Hurts made a hard, tough throw and put it right on Gainwell's hands and it bounced off of his hands for an interception. So I'm not putting
it's always tough to throw screen passes with heat. And that's what he had to do because of the timing of it. And like, that's never how you draw it up. That's why you don't want to throw it fast because it ricochets off something and there's just so many bodies there. Gainwell. Schemed Gainwell targets continue to be something I don't particularly understand.
They continue to call on him. All right, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and let's get into the defense. Listen, I personally have been tough on Johnny Gans. I think Ben's been tough on Johnny Gans.
Fighting Johnny Gans.
And they deliver. So we'll be back and we'll talk about that.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200 or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
This episode is brought to you by Maybelline New York. Get ready to bring the heat with Maybelline's newest lip plumping gloss, Lifter Plump. Fair warning though, it's hot. Like, literally. It's formulated with chili peppers to bring a heated sensation and an instant plumping effect that lasts. Available in 8 sizzling shades like Blush Blaze, Hot Honey, and more. Buy Lifter Plump now on Amazon and use the code 10PLUMP to get 10% off for a limited time. Tap the banner to learn more.
All right, Johnny Gans, gotta hand it to you. I was waiting. I waited all last year. I waited the first game of this year. It took 20 games. I said, listen, I know you're not going to come through every time against good competent quarterbacks. I'll say competent, not good, because Kirk Cousins did not look good today. But just show it to me once. We didn't see it once last year. We didn't see it one time. Anytime they faced a competent to above average quarterback, this defense was a complete disaster. Well, guess what? Today, he came through. Credit to you, Johnny Gans. I thought Darius Slay, I can't remember the last game by an Eagles cornerback that was this good. I mean, I think we have to go back to the Asante Samuel days. He was incredible in this game. Really could have had like four interceptions in this game. He was everywhere. He looked like someone who was saying, all right, Justin Jefferson is being gassed up a little bit too much. I can still play.
Right.
Let me make some plays here. I know it's hard to see off TV copy. What were some of the things that stood out to you kind of schematically with how they played today defensively?
Just call every game with the same amount of disdain and disrespect that you had for Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't work, like dial it back, you know, go about your stuff, whatever. But it was so clear that they just did not think for a second that this passing game could do anything to them on a clear passing down. Like, oh, if we just get them to third and long, we just rush. We'll put our four down. We're going to blitz. We're going to play man coverage and they don't have us. Like, we're just... We're going to beat them. Just do that all the time. Just be living in an aggressive mindset. Live in a philosophy that says, hey, on third and eight, we can line you up. We can match you up. And we can dial up pressure. And we can put the onus on you to execute. You're not always going to get a Kirk on Monday Night Football because Kirk's now 2-9 on Monday Night Football, whatever the heck it is. Just love me a Kirk Cousins, baby. But operate from that paradigm and then shift gears when necessary, right? Like, last year, you were getting the Derek Carrs of the world and letting them nickel and dime you. Now you're on the forefoot. Now you're on the aggressor. And like, a lot of that is because I'm sure the personnel is better. I understand that. But we didn't see that in week one when it was Jared Goff.
Right.
And now here you see it in week two when it was Kirk Cousins. We asked for man coverage and we got that. This is the exact game for which you acquire a Darius Slay. It is... That wide receiver one is incredible. And then wide receiver two, three, tight end one, they're fine, right? Like Adam Thielen is a little bit past his prime. KJ Osborne is okay. Irv Smith is okay. So if we just have a dude who, like, we'll help him out. We'll put, like, a safety on top. But we just have him follow their wide receiver one around. We should be good everywhere else. This is exactly why you spend premium capital at the corner position. It's for this game. The Packers elected not to go this round, got burned for it. The Eagles said, we're just simply not going to repeat that mistake. So number one, good change of pace, good changed pitch for Jonathan Gannon, because you would have expected them to come out and play zones. What they usually do is what the Vikings did against the Eagles, so on and so forth. Number two is, we recorded this podcast last week, a post-game podcast, and we were astounded that they did not have a way to get Jordan Davis on the field with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. They got Jordan Davis on the field with Fletcher Cox and Javon Hargrave. They, on early downs, Jordan Davis played the vast majority of his snaps on first down. On early downs, they were in five down fronts. And they said to Minnesota, hey, you want to put like spread personnel on the field, but go heavy. That's what they did against the Packers, is we put like, oh, three receivers on the field, but we go condensed formations and we run the football. You want to do that. We're not going to let you do that. We're going to put our five down here, and then we're going to have you spread it out and pass. And yes, at times that means Hassan Reddick on Johnny Munt. At times that means TJ Edwards over Justin Jefferson.
A lot of Johnny Munt but tonight, event, I thought. I mean, I didn't think Monday Night Football, a lot Johnny of Munt Johnny Munt.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think Irv was a little banged up, I guess. I don't know. But at times that means you're going to get us in matchups we don't like. But eventually we're going to get an early down stop on a running play. And then you're in passing downs. And once you're in passing downs, we no longer respect you. So we're going to stop Dalvin Cook on first down, get you into second and long, put Kirk into shotgun, and then we're going to bully him. This was the best Jalen Hurts game we've seen. This is the most aggressive Jonathan Gannon game we've seen. And accordingly, it's the best Jonathan Gannon game we've seen. This, I had no faith he was going to come out like this. With the gun.
Why would you? Why would you? Based on what we've seen.
Yeah,
there was no reason to believe or think that this was coming. So credit to him, credit to their defense. First possession, like you said, third down. Wait a minute. Is that man coverage? Darius Slay on Justin Jefferson? What the heck is going on here? Did someone steal the headset from Johnny Gans? Great PBU by Darius Slay. Second possession, third down. James Bradbury. Now, I don't know. Troy Aikman was saying that was cover one. I don't know why James Bradbury would be on Irv Smith, but I don't know what the personnel was or what they did. But he seemed to think that was Bradbury on Irv Smith, cover one, man coverage, and he came up with the PBO.
Yeah. So they were in a nub. So, like, the Eagles used to do this a lot with Ertz. Three receivers to one side and then one tight end isolated to the other side, but attached to the line of scrimmage. And it's a cheesy way of trying to get that tight end on a linebacker. Gotcha. And that's good situational ball by Gannon being like, oh, no. When you put him there, we know what you do with him. Like, this is not, he's getting a corner. You can't do this to us. So much of wide receiver corner play is confidence and momentum. It really, really is. Like, a lot of it is mentality and headspace. On that first 3rd and 5 Slay Jefferson pass breakup, there was a little bit of like, is it one of these nights? Like, are we a little like, oh, okay. Because that was defensive pass interference. We ain't getting that flag? Oh, might be one of these nights. And it was one of those nights all the way through.
It worked out great. T.J. Edwards on the 4th possession had a PBU on Irv Smith on 3rd down. Irv Smith, I'm seeing a lot of Irv Smith on here. Irv Smith had a bad drop. Blitz by Chauncey Gardner-Johnson on a 3rd down. Get off the field. Darius Slay interception. Get off the field. Avante Maddox. I thought that looked like a fantastic interception. How many times have we watched the underneath defenders for the Eagles in zone coverage not get enough depth? The ball gets layered over their head. This even goes back to the Jim Schwartz. Anytime the Jim Schwartz, the Johnny Gay, and that was a great job, I thought, of Avante Maddox, not having seen it on film, getting enough depth and making a very nice interception there. And then again, Slay comes back with another interception. I got here that was a zero blitz they had on the 9th possession of the game. The game is in hands, and Johnny Gantz is breaking out.
That's why I say disrespect. That's why I say disdain. That was very clearly like, hey, wait a minute. Screw that guy. He's not good.
Yes.
We don't listen. Right. And like, that's why you don't go, okay, we're up 17. Let's kind of get back to our stuff. No, it was like, we don't want any of him to score. We don't like him. We don't like their receivers. We don't like any of the narratives around which receivers are drafted by them and by us and which one was on this team and now is on this team. We would like to beat this passing game. We know that dude when he was in Washington. We know some of these receivers. We'd like to make a statement here. And so they stay, like I said, like on the forefront for 4 quarters. That's new and awesome.
The armpit test, Benny Souls. Listen.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins, if he's taking a whiff, if he's wearing an undershirt underneath that jersey, that thing is wet. Kirk Cousins is going to be sore when he wakes up tomorrow morning. He got hit. He was on the ground. He was chucking and ducking. These are not things we've seen like any competent quarterback do against the Eagles since the start of last season. These are things we saw a lot of quarterbacks do in years past with very good Eagles defenses. Everybody loved watching those teams. And so, yes, it is a sign that there are some other tools in that toolbox. It took a while to break them out. Maybe they were stuck. Maybe you had to yank really hard and it took 20 games to get them out of there, but you were able to get them out of there. And it's a very encouraging. Now it's like I dreaded watching I hate watching the all 22 of this defense for the last year plus. I'm like, what am I going to gain from this? I'm just going to get mad that I'm going to go on a podcast in 2 days and yell about it. Guess what? This is going to be a fun film to look at. There are going to be blitzes to look at as well. Oh, Slay traveled with him here. All sorts of things to look at. And it also makes you excited for the future, including next week, by the way, when Carson Wentz comes into town and right. What your game plan is going to be against him. Kirk Cousins, 27 for 46, 221, 4.8 yards per attempt, 1 touchdown, 3 interceptions. Even those numbers are gassed up by some garbanzo beans yards right. He picked up late in the 4th quarter.
And I would say even more impressive than the Kirk Cousins box score is the Dalvin Cook box score, man.
How about the Justin Jefferson box score?
6 for 48 on 12 targets, dude. That's awesome. So, okay, moments of sobriety. Vikings walk out of the halftime locker room, immediately go no huddle. Eagles are stuck with Kaiser White on the field. They're stuck with their 4-down rush package on the field. Vikings start to get that nickel and dime game going a little bit. Something that the Lions were able to do in the running game and in the short passing game against that grouping, right? So they weren't in the 5-1 stuff that they were in on early downs in the first half, because once the Vikings got them in a 4-down look, they went no huddle. Keep them in this 4-down look. So still stuff to figure out there, because there's a lot of space when that personnel is on the field. The underneath stuff is accessible. I don't think they like to be in their man coverage stuff when they have that grouping on the field. I think they try to get an extra defensive back. You saw some of 33 Sky. You saw some of 42 Wallace in this game. That's more so where they want to be when they're in their man coverage stuff. So that's number one. Number two, Vikings scored 7 points. Kirk threw 3 picks. It's great. Those 3 picks came on the 19-yard line, the 27-yard line, and the 9-yard line, all Philadelphia. The Vikings were knocking on the door at times. And the picks were great, right? The Darius Slay one where Justin Jefferson broke off the route wrong is just, I love how much Justin Jefferson and Kirk hate each other. And you know they do. You know they are a quarterback and a star receiver, and they're tethered together, and they have to throw it again forever. But you just know there's way too much smoke.
I think it's a one-way deal. Yeah, I don't know. Kirk should be very thankful for Jefferson.
I think Jefferson hates Kirk.
Yeah,
I think that's Kirk. The yuppie, harmless white Michigan guy version of hate is that's how Kirk feels about Jefferson. It's more just like Jefferson comes on the side and he's like, oh, shucks, man, you can't break it. Like, you know, it's just not the same in terms of the disdain that Jefferson has for him. But like the toxicity in that relationship, I love it. It's a mess. It's great. But you have the Darius Slay one at the goal line, the Maddox, beautiful sail tech, gorgeous zone work. Maddox has always been so good at that. Walls with a knock on the door, and then you have kind of the last one for Darius Slay when they're kind of just like throwing up prayers trying to get back in this game. But the Vikings were in scoring position a lot more than 7 points would indicate. Yes. So still a little bit bending, not breaking from the Gannon defense in terms of a few drives. Largely great performance. 7 points a little bit belies what the Vikings offense were doing. Those turnovers show up really, really big on the scoreboard.
Yes, I would agree with that. There were even times in the second half where, you know, you're always like one score away. We talked about it on the Ringer NFL show with all the crazy comebacks this weekend that at 24-7, once that becomes 24-14 and there's like, you know, 8, 9, 10 minutes left, it becomes a little bit more uncomfortable. But they were never able to get that touchdown and make it that uncomfortable. Now, what could you tell other than, all right, playing some more man coverage with Slay on Jefferson? Were you able to tell what their sort of game plan was, keeping a safety over the top, what they were doing to slow him down? Was it just get to Cousins a lot and not allow him to get there? Because like you said, he was still targeted 12 times.
Right. It's funny too. I talked about this a little bit when we previewed Gannon preseason. It was more Zimmery than we've seen him be, right? So they got to like a very classic Zimmer pressure on the first drive of the game where TJ Edwards just blew Dalvin Cook to kingdom come, right? Where you have five guys down on the line, the two outside edge rushers are going to drop. So both Sweat and Reddick are going to drop and Edwards is going to come down the chute. So you have four rushers like all from the interior and you're looking to get that linebacker ahead of steam on the back. They get that. Edwards collisions Cook, muddies up the pocket. Cousins got to throw the ball now. You get the one-on-one pass breakup. So you have there's Zimmer stuff there in terms of the pressures, and then also when they're in man, like you brought up, they were in cover one for that one James Bradbury breakup, and they were in their one hole stuff, the one robber stuff, so one deep middle safety and then one safety in the low hole, right? So like all those intermediate crossers, but they're also in two man, so two deep safeties with man coverage. What that allows you to do against a star receiver like Jefferson is it allows Darius Slay to play in the trail. Right. So I'm at the line of scrimmage. I'm going to jam you aggressively to the line and disrupt your release. If you get by me, I'm okay with that because I have a safety over the top over this half of the field. And now I'm going to play in your back hip. I'm going to play underneath you, between you and the quarterback. And I'm just eyeing your body. And where you break, I'm going to break. And I'm just going to close this window, which I think is the right way. I think like two man and getting to your man trail and getting to your cone brackets and like the stuff that comes from the two man family. That's where you want to be against Justin Jefferson. You brought up Wentz and Washington next week. The Commanders have had like these big long stretches of like bursts of point scoring, right? They had it in the first half against Jacksonville. They had it in the second half against Detroit. A big part of that is because they have three legitimate big play receivers, right? So here in the Vikings, you have a nucleus. You have a solar system. There's a sun that is Justin Jefferson in the passing game. Everything revolves around him. In Washington over the first 2 weeks, with healthy Curtis Samuel, first-round pick Jahan Dotson, and then obviously Terry McLaurin, they've had the ability to go against anybody on man coverage and like explosive Jahan Dotson play, explosive Curtis Samuel play. They push the ball down to the field with all three of those guys. That's where things get interesting because now it becomes a little bit more pick and choose your matchup. That reads a lot more like a zone-heavy game for Gannon in terms of what we've seen, but that's also not fair to say because everything reads like a zone-heavy game because that's mostly what Gannon does. So we'll kind of see if the success he had here in this week is going to leave man coverage something that's more common for him. But if we're like this was a huge test and a huge checkmark for Darius Slay. I know like Jalen Hurts had the career game, but to me, like this, I'll remember this as the Darius Slay.
Yeah.
It'll be the game where I'm like, oh, shoot. Like, yeah, because if the Eagles are going to make a playoff run, let's walk through the NFC in terms of contenders. You're going to run into some star receivers, right? So like if they have this slate for this season, it's huge in terms of January playoffs. So great game checking the Darius Slay box. This upcoming Sunday is the James Bradbury and the Avante Maddox boxes, right? Okay, we can play man on their receiver one with this guy. Do we have somebody for wide receiver two? Do we have somebody for slot receiver, Chauncey Gardner-Johnson? Do we have somebody for tight ends? Can we continue to be a good man coverage team against a variety of passing attacks? You prove this over the course of a few weeks in the season. You got a stew going, baby. We're cooking.
Yeah, you just want to be able to do different things. You don't want to have to do the same thing every week. That's interesting. I didn't notice the two-man looks. I just looked it up. Last year, they played two snaps of two-man all season, according to PFF True Media. And I always wondered, why don't you play more two-man? If you want to play two deep, now scrambling quarterbacks can kill you in two-man because you're playing man backs to the line of scrimmage. So you don't want to play it against scrambling quarterbacks, but against Kirk Cousins? Yeah, sure. So yeah. I'll be curious to see how much.
Slay was definitely in trail on Jefferson. There's a chance it's not two-man stuff. There's a chance like quarter-quarter half stuff.
Yeah.
That's what, like I was talking about. You get brackets on Jefferson. Like when they isolate him, you can play basically two-man just to that side of the field and let Slay play trail, and then the other side of the field you're doing other stuff. So that'll conflate your numbers a little bit. But getting Slay in the trail with safety over the top on Jefferson is, like, that's how you double a guy while also playing man coverage. Works really well.
The usual Johnny Gans philosophy is actually not a bad approach against Carson Wentz. That is a quarterback who you can dare to go 8-9 plays in a row without making a mistake and see what happens. At the same time, pressuring him is also going to be a good idea. So we'll, of course, get into that matchup later this week. Ben, I have to ask you, what did you think of the threads that I'm on? Maybe the most controversial moment of the night was when Darius Slay gave the football to James Harden. Is this bad juju? Is this good? Are you happy? You seem to be happy about it.
Philly has stars. What are you talking about? I got star corner handing a ball off to a star point guard. I got issues. We got star athletes. I thought you were going to ask me about, should Aaron Sipos be the punter or should he be a punt gunner? Holy smokes, baby.
Big tackle.
Explosiveness.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We chase down athleticism. If you get tackled by the holder and the holder's a punter on a blocked field goal, retire, man. Like, you can't. You cannot. The Vikings locker room better never let Chris Boyd forget that a punter wearing 8 got up off of one knee and chased him down. Despicable.
That was a highlight for Sipos. All right. Eagles offense, third in EPA per drive through 2 weeks, behind only the Kansas City Chiefs and the Miami Dolphins. Eagles defense is 13th in EPA per drive, but coming off the greatest performance of the Johnny Gans era. Ben, is there anything we did not get to here that you wanted to get to? I think we hit on all the big stuff. Slay, amazing. I'm with you on Slay. Sorry, I did the annoying thing where you ask a question and then you just start answering.
And then you realize you have something you want to say. No, roll with it.
No, I'm with you on Slay. I mean, I hope we're giving Slay the amount of credit that he deserves because, I was critical of that trade at the time. I've been critical of his play at times. He was fantastic last year, but this game and what they allowed him to do, I thought showcased kind of another level that he can get to. And just the competitiveness, the way he was carrying himself was really like, no, that you last week, what you did against the Packers, that's not happening here. And like that type of, I know it's, superficial bravado, whatever, body language doctor, all that stuff. But you know what, when you're watching it on a TV at home and you see a player doing that, that's fun to see. I know that's fun to see for Eagles fans and people listening.
It's superficial, but it's not.
It matters. The
last time, there may have been a time in the middle, but the last time I can remember the Vikings in the stadium was the NFC Championship game. In the words of Chris Long, anybody could have got it that night, right? Yeah. They're like, you get that first pass breakup, this guy's coming off a huge game where the opposing star corner complained that he didn't get him in man coverage, and you get him in man coverage, you start with a pass breakup, you get a pick, you give it to James Harden, you start to feel it a little bit, like, and there are some stadiums in the league where the crowd does not get that energy back to you. The Link is not one of them. The Link will get that energy back to you very quickly, especially when they're booing Jalen Reagor on every possible punt return. Like, the Eagles fans like to welcome Minnesota to town. That is a fun game for them. And the guy who I think really gave their energy back to them tonight was Darius Slay. That's going to give you a lot of confidence the next time you walk into that building. You're back on that field. You're back with those fans behind you covering the next star receiver. Like I said, corner is a lot of mentality stuff. So, yes, good games will build on themselves at the corner position in a big way.
It really was a great crowd. I can't remember the last time the crowd sounded like that just watching on TV. It feels like it was those 2017 playoff games. I mean, I don't remember seeing it like that in a while. And the city's just going to go nuts now. I mean, we said it. If they win this game and they even showed the graphic on TV, who they're playing for the now, listen, they could lose next week and we'll talk about that. But the pieces are in place now at 2-0. In this division, with the way the other teams are playing, with the way the rest of the conference is shaping up, with the performance they played at, the level they played at tonight, people are going to be going nuts, I think, for the next 3-4 months in this city. All right, now I can actually ask you, did I miss anything, Ben?
All right, 6 undefeated teams left. The Eagles are one of them. Gonna name the other ones. You tell me right now who you'd pick head to head on a neutral field in Arizona.
Oh,
you
my
ready?
Gosh. Okay. Right. Okay. Right now, Miami, or in the Super Bowl? Like if they play this Sunday?
I promise this is not that serious. I'm just trying to get to a bit at the end. You ready?
All right.
Kansas City Chiefs.
Chiefs.
Buffalo Bills.
Bills.
Miami Dolphins.
Eagles.
All right. That's the AFC. NFC. Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Don't look too good.
Bucks, but I'm thinking about it.
Yep. And last but not least, the 6th undefeated team besides the Eagles at 5, the New York Giants.
Oh my gosh. Talk about very different
two
looking
2-0. Two undefeated NFC teams, baby. A tie for first place. Oh, what a competitive division.
Oh my gosh. Eagles and Giants.
God, I can't wait to beat the Giants by 30.
There we go. All right. Well, this has been fun. We have fun film to look at. We'll look at the film this week. We'll come back to you on Thursday, go over that. Preview week 3. We're in the season. We're in the groove. Things start moving. It's a short week on Monday, but what a win for the Eagles. What a performance by Jalen Hurts. What a performance by Darius Slay. What a performance by Johnny Gans. I'm not going to leave you out, Johnny Gans, okay? This is a fair podcast. When you deliver, we give you credit. So we'll be back with all of that. If you want some league-wide thoughts, Ben and I already recorded a Ringer NFL show where we're talking about all the other 31 other teams. You got to start scouting those Super Bowl teams. Like Ben said, who do the Eagles best match up with in the Super Bowl? So make sure you listen to that. All right. Thank you to Ben Solak. Everyone, rate, review, subscribe, unsubscribe, do all that good stuff. Tell your friends to listen to this podcast throughout the season because it's going to be a fun one. And we will talk to you Thursday on the Ringers Philly special.
This episode is brought to you by Empower. You got money questions like, can I retire early? What are my best savings options? Can I afford to pay for my kids' education? Luckily, Empower has all the answers. With Empower's real-time dashboard and real live conversations, you get clarity on your real-life financial goals. So join 18 million Americans and Empower what's next. Start today at empower.com. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more. Sponsored by Empower, not an endorsement or a statement of satisfaction by a client. This episode is brought to you by UGG. Y'all know UGG is a brand that athletes wear all the time in the tunnel and on travel days. Well, I bet you think UGG season is only during the colder months of the year. Au contraire, you're wrong. You need to check out the latest spring drop from UGG. They have everything from sandals to clogs. I like the sandals. UGG has you covered for your next spring adventure. Shop the golden collection at UGG.com.